Hi, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Art of Customer Service brought to you by Digital Compact. So let's start. My name is Eric Pfannmüller, and I'm your host on this show. A former canoeing world champion, father of three, and founder of SolveMate, a leading platform for customer service automation. Our automation platform, powered by smart conversational AI, allows companies to deliver quality customer service faster. As you know, on The Art of Customer Service, I talk to experts about what makes good customer service, which tools and practices are relevant, which new technologies are available in the customer service area, and many other exciting topics around a great service experience. If you like this podcast, I am super happy if you would leave a 5-star review on the streaming service of your choice. But now, let's jump into today's episode, and we will be talking about the digital tipping point. So, a tipping point is something that hopefully all of us feel, a point of no return, a point where things start accelerating and accelerating and nothing can stop it. I'm talking about digitalization in service and companies in general. So stay tuned for what the digital tipping point is, and you will find out if you're maybe past it already. For this purpose, on the show today, I have Alexa Seefeld from Zendesk, a digital communication platform focused on customer service. She is an enterprise partner sales manager for Central Europe, Benelux, and the Nordics. It's great to have you on the show today. Welcome, Alexa. How are you?
Hi, Eric. I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for welcoming me. And I'm super happy to be here today.
Awesome. Why don't we start with a quick introduction of yourself? Who are you and what's your journey to date? And why are you an expert on customer experience?
Yeah, sure, Eric. Of course. Happy to kick it off. So my name is Alexa Seefeld. As Eric stated, I am the enterprise sales manager for Zendesk. I've been with Zendesk for about 2 years. And prior to joining Zendesk, I was working at another customer experience company called Sugar CRM, where we were also focusing on digital customer communications. And I've been in the industry about 6 or 7 years. And it's been a passion of mine, not only from a personal perspective, but also from a professional perspective, working with customers, not only in the DACH, the Nordics region, but also all over Europe. And then, of course, as far as my background is concerned, I'm actually from the US, so I think I bring a very global presence to customer experience and what we can offer for our customers here at Zendesk.
Awesome. So let's directly strive to the point. What is a digital tipping point? What does it mean for you?
What does it mean for me? I think, especially what we saw last year was really a digital tipping point for many of us on a personal and also on a professional level.
What was last year?
Did we live last year or what happened last year? No, I think last year was a really interesting year, 2020, I think on professional level, on a personal level. But to get back to your question, I think digital tipping point to me is something that, like you said at the beginning, it's a point of no return. And I think especially from a digitalization perspective, we saw last year, although many of us maybe thought we were prepared from a digitalization perspective, we were really forced to put our skills, our software, our solutions, our minds completely to the test. And this digital tipping point is something that happened last year because we had to make sure that we were well prepared. And I think we've gotten to that point of no return, and we need to make sure that we're ready to go forward with the right solutions in place.
With you mean you personally or Zendesk as a company? Because of Zendesk is at the forefront of digitalization and you're a cloud-based software yourself. So whoever used Zendesk, and if you remember this podcast from, I think, a year ago, and then 3 episodes ago, we talked about the prerequisites for working in a COVID remote world. And if you were a Zendesk customer, you would be happily prepared, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I think, what we saw last year, and we have some statistics to back this up, is our customers saw a huge increase in the volume of tickets. And I think even, with customers who were using Zendesk were very well prepared, still it was a huge increase of tickets that we had not seen in the previous year. So we're talking 200, 300% ticket increase. And using Zendesk, of course, you have all the right, communications and channels there. And we need to make sure as well that, we can, as a vendor and also as from a customer perspective, that our customers have additional channels enabled to make sure that they can accommodate that huge spike in tickets.
That's something that we've also seen at SolveMate, that more clients are using digital, meaning, there was no physical last year. And I think then Zendesk is like every year doing a research among their 160,000 clients that they have. So I think you publish some papers around, and I would be happy if we can directly jump in with some statistics on what do you see on digital leaders as learnings of 2020 and the road towards 2021.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, the study you're referencing is called our CX trends. Yeah, we surveyed, I think even last year, we surveyed even more customers, around 160,000, 170,000 customers, where we asked them, what are the specific trends that they're focusing on? What are the specific trends that they're seeing in the market? And I think last year we really saw this digital tipping point coming into place. So if we just talk through, you know, each specific trend quickly, we look at, you know, there's a spotlight on CX. So the main reason there's a spotlight is because we saw the world pretty much get tipped upside down last year. So we need to make sure that we're prepared from a CX perspective to be able to handle all these new challenges we're dealing with. Second trend that we saw is the conversational world. So I think, you know, we can relate from a CX perspective also to how we interact in our daily lives, that, you know, we want to be able to interact with WhatsApp, you know, Facebook, maybe we want to be able to call, we want to be able to email. It really depends as well on, you know, age gaps and generations, but this is another trend that we saw.
And 64% of your customers said they want to be using a new service channel last. They have been using a new service channel last year, right?
Yeah, huge percentage. So we saw, I think it was around 223% increase on WhatsApp, similar numbers on Facebook and on social media, and then of course on SMS as well. And then of course, you know, we have companies such as yourself assisting on AI and on chatbots as well. And these were the most popular new channels that we saw come up last year. And we're only seeing those increase as a company.
That is great. So we're going to put a link to this study anyways in the show notes so that everyone can have a look at this later. I think there is three more trends that we should quickly touch upon, and then we will stick more on trend number five, which is a digital tipping point.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'll jump back into where we were with the conversational world, right? But thanks for asking those questions, Eric. I think it's super valid, especially to sort of hear, you know, for other customers listening, what are the trends that, you know, maybe they're not aware of, and what are the channels that maybe they don't have currently in their customer service portfolio, and how can they be able to adapt to those. The third trend is similar, actually. So it's actually talking about agility. And, you know, we talked about 2020. What happened last year was a really interesting year. But the idea that you have to be agile. If you're not going to be agile, your competitors are going to be agile, your customers are going to be agile, and you won't be able to keep up with the market. And I think that's also, you know, brings us to the digital tipping point in the end. And the fourth trend is, you know, future of work. So we're all living this. You listening to this podcast, you're probably still living this wonderful reality that we're still in, right? Working from home every day, working with your pets, you know, your dogs barking in the background, kids running around, etc. This is the future of work. And, you know, I think we all want to be back to the office as soon as possible, but the reality is that, you know, we'll be working from home for a while. So how can we make sure that we're, you know, set up from a personal and professional perspective for this? The last trend is exactly the topic we have today, which is the digital tipping point, which I think is something we've all experienced on a personal and professional level. And yeah, really excited to be here talking about that today.
And everything kind of leads to the digital tipping point. And for me, I would also like to see how you kind of feel that. For me, the digital tipping point is to have a digital first mindset. So you just talked about having a spotlight on customer experience, being more conversational, be agile, working from home, working remotely. All of that is kind of leading to a digital world. And as a private person, I think the digital tipping point happened for me already 15 years ago, where I abandoned paper on a private side. You know, back then it was in 2005, where like I'm not owning paper as a person. And if I was to say what would be a digital tipping point for a company, maybe if you say you're paperless, maybe that could be because you think digital first, you think digital processes. Of course, manufacturing companies, it's harder if you do physical goods, but how would you define the digital tipping point for a company? What does a company need to be like to be past the tipping point?
I think it's a great question. I think from a customer service or customer experience perspective, I think it's all about putting yourself in the mind of the customer and really realizing, okay, where are they? What channels are they going to be on? Where do they actually want to meet us from a brand perspective? And I think from a digital tipping point perspective, I think it really depends on the industry. So you said like manufacturing, and you know, we see some industries that are maybe a little bit lagging. But when we look at retail, for example, that tipping point of, you know, last year, stores are all closed. Okay, so how do we interact with our customers? How do we address particular tickets? How are we actually able to sell to our customers as well, right? So for me, the digital tipping point is being prepared to address your customers on no matter what sort of channel or communication stream that they're looking to be addressed on.
That's a very good definition. I could make one example from the last week because I needed to return my router to my internet provider. And I just Googled for it. I went to a page and they had a process of, okay, why don't you put the serial number of your router? Because that's like, I only need the serial number because I am the only person having that in my home. I inputted it like an ID. They said, okay, please input the address. And then kind of, I thought I need to print the paper and all these things and like put it like on a package and send it back. I was so positively amazed on, they have been sending me an email with a QR code saying, go to the post office, show that QR code and the postman will print it for you. And that for me, like that was a digital process that was digital first. And I was like, no printing, no nothing, no paper, just go there with a package and then the physical process could start. Like for me, this process, not naming the internet provider, but I was positively surprised by a very old-fashioned industry to kind of make that work in such a great way. And you said earlier, customers, like for me, this was a mobile channel. It worked perfectly. It was digital first. So for this specific process, for me, that was past the digital tipping point. That was just an amazing experience.
Yeah. And I think what happens as well is sometimes you're positively surprised. And I think kind of transitioning, and you know, this maybe could have been, you know, a process they put in place last year, or maybe this is something that they'd been thinking about for a long time. But what's important to highlight, I think, is that companies are really transitioning. They're really changing. They're thinking about these customer experiences. And I think, you know, we can think of our own personal experiences. So we talk about professional, you know, our professional lives a lot. But like you said, you had a great experience with this internet provider. And then, you know, you go and tell more friends about it. And you have this experience that really makes a positive impression on you. And I think another, you know, sort of question we were talking about at the beginning is, you know, why are you a customer experience expert? I think when I relate to myself and my own personal experiences in customer experience, if I have a great customer experience, I'm so happy. I run and tell everybody about it. And I really become a brand advocate. But the same goes the other way, right? I think if you have a bad customer experience or things aren't going, you know, particularly the way that you had hoped, you know, you're just as likely, probably more likely from the studies that we've seen here at Zendesk, to go and tell bad, you know, other customers or other friends of yours about that bad customer experience.
Indeed, you do. And maybe I can also have an example from last week. I wanted to get bank account access for the company, for a new colleague, which was a terrific process of, like, it was cool because I could DocuSign something, but I DocuSigned it with clicking, and then it was not accepted from the bank because I didn't draw my own signature with a mouse, which is kind of like the process was in place that you can use DocuSign, but you need to draw yourself, which kind of abandoned the whole process for me because I needed to do it again. I was super frustrated. And ultimately, they asked me that, no, now I need to print it, sign physically, and take a scan and send it back. So that was kind of a bad customer experience. And again, don't want to blame any company, but a bad customer experience like this for such an easy process, you tell about people. And that's why customer experience is so important. And digitalization is ease of use. It's fun to use, it's fast, and it's saving time. Now, coming back to the digital tipping point, is the digital tipping point a one-time event or is it a process for a company? How would you see that transitioning?
Yeah, no, great question. So I think if you would have asked me this, you know, prior to last year, I would probably say it's a process, right? So many companies have, you know, as part of their sort of strategic direction, they want to digitalize, whether that's, you know, on the customer service side or on the sales side or overall processes that they have within the company. And I would say generally, normally, it's a sort of process that is, you know, laid out, it's planned, it's timed, and then, you know, customers start going on the digitalization journey. But I think last year, what happened is we had a very abrupt digital tipping point.
And many, yeah. I will never forget the 15th of March, 2020.
Yeah, me neither. I think I had my last, you know, social outing maybe the weekend before, right? And then after that, it was a lockdown from then on out. But yeah, I agree. I think that last year, it was really from one day to another, companies had to, you know, companies and from a personal perspective, we had to be ready for this new digital world. And as going back to your question on, is there one digital tipping point or is there more? I think, you know, we see that, you know, last year was, I would say, the major digital tipping point that we've seen in the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And I think, you know, we'll maybe see another one. Who knows what's coming next? But I think generally speaking, of course, it's a normal process that, you know, companies are digitalizing and they're on this journey together. But I think last year, what we saw, especially at Zendesk, is we had companies contacting us looking for customer service solutions that needed to be stood up not only in months or weeks, but in days. And because of, yeah, this digital tipping point that we were all living firsthand.
And when I Googled Zendesk and digital tipping point, I've had find some super cool statistics that 50% of service leaders say COVID has accelerated digital adoption by 1 to 3 years, and a whopping 25% say that COVID has accelerated digital adoption by 4 to 7 years, meaning it was such an abrupt change. And we've had another episode also on this podcast last year about how to do remote customer service. Any teams that have been set up with mobile workstations and a cloud-based contact center and cloud-based software in general didn't need anything, just needed to, like, even though it was a logistical challenge to make people work from home, they were prepared. It could be made work. But having that one-time event is a clear acceleration of things. And that is maybe more a philosophical question. Will we get back to the normal or will it last? And what's your opinion on that?
Ihr Lieben, hier ist Joel von Digital Kompakt. Und weißt du, erfolgreiche E-Commerce-Unternehmen legen ja heutzutage großen Wert auf zufriedene Kunden. Also alles andere wäre ja ehrlicherweise etwas bekloppt, aber gleichzeitig steht der interne Kundenservice ja auch unter hohem Kostendruck. Und da habe ich jetzt eine Lösung für dich, nämlich unseren Partner Sales Supply. Der ist nämlich Spezialist für E-Commerce-Kundenservice und bietet das einzige auf den E-Commerce spezialisierte Callcenter in Europa und wurde 2021 auch durch die Vivo für Top-Kundenservice ausgezeichnet. Sales Supply unterstützt dein Unternehmen bei der kosteneffizienten Skalierung eures Kundenservice in 25 Sprachen. Und jetzt pass mal auf, wenn du eine der folgenden Fragen mit Ja beantwortest, dann bist du goldrichtig bei den Jungs und Mädels von Sales Supply. Möchtest du eure Erreichbarkeit in saisonalen Peaks steigern? Brauchst du eine Backup-Lösung oder sind eure Servicezeiten abends und am Wochenende eigentlich zu kurz? Möchtet ihr schlechte Bewertungen vermeiden und eure Kundenzufriedenheit steigern? Oder möchtet ihr international skalierbar wachsen? Wenn du eine dieser Fragen bejaht hast, bereitest du dich jetzt schon mal darauf vor, Kundin von Sales Supply zu werden. Genauso wie etwa Lampenwelt, Expert Elektronik, Tamaris oder auch Carhartt und Connox. Alles, was du dazu noch brauchst, ist ein Link und ich habe dir unter digitalkompakt.de/callcenter eine Weiterleitung eingerichtet oder du kannst auch Henning Hesen von Sales Supply bei LinkedIn kontaktieren. Natürlich verlinke ich das auch nochmal in den Shownotes und alle Sponsoren findest du immer auch auf unserer Sponsorenseite unter digitalkompakt.de/sponsoren.
To be honest, Eric, it's a really interesting question because I ask myself this kind of daily, you know? I mean, we're still... I think it's a professional question, but once again, personal. I think that's what's really cool about our episode we're doing today is it kind of transcends, you know, more of the professional boundaries, but also on a personal level. I think we will go back, so some things will go back to normal. So when we think of, you know, just thinking more on like a general work level, you know, some work trips I think will come in back into play. I think we'll be able to, you know, go to the office again. Hopefully soon. We're already seeing some companies go back to the office. But as far as the digitalization journey perspective is concerned, I don't think we will go back because from what we've seen, and I think if you look in your everyday life, you see similar results. Companies, they have to move forward. We have to be ready that, you know, if this happens again, we need to make sure that we have the tools, we have the solutions in place, make sure employees are ready. So I don't see us going back to, you know, normal, back to the way things were, at least not for a long time. And I think the future is here. We have to be able to adapt and go forward with these changes that are being presented to us.
And maybe that's a good point to add upon. If I think about the market, and the market is the consumer, and the consumer of your products, whatever you're going to sell, either it's B2B or B2C, they have experienced an abrupt digitalization. Everything needed to go. And I remember talking to governmental people that said, no, I need a physical piece of paper. And I said, sorry, I don't have a printer at home, which I had, but I didn't want to print. And I said, can I just do a digital signature? And they accepted. And that's kind of a way of, if the consumer will not go back to the, you know, please wait in line for 10 minutes on a call, like this is already bad, but also like any not thought through lean digital processes. So from the consumer side, the market, I think will not go back because nobody wants to go back to a worse process once they have experienced something great. And knowing about that, what if I understand your study and like your research on Zendesk, right, that service leader must get part to that. So you cannot go back to whatever you've done before. You need to, you're past the digital ping point and you need to think digital first.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as well, once you start, you know, with customer service or you're looking at your digitalization journey, it's always, okay, what can we do better? What can we improve? And I think to share a little bit of, you know, this, did the digital tipping point happen? I do want to share just a couple statistics in that
Please.
Regard as well.
I love statistics.
Great. me too. So last year we saw, and what's interesting, we saw a slight difference between, you know, enterprise and mid-sized businesses, but 89% of leaders at mid-sized businesses, so we consider mid-sized, you know, 100 to about 1,000 employees, they said that COVID has drastically sped up adoption. And on the enterprise side, it was actually 91%. So when we look at those particular statistics, there's no denying that the digital tipping point is there. And I think it's something that, like you said, there is no going back, because when we look at customer service...
This is my opinion. I think there is some business leader that might force all people go back to the office once possible, but I think that's not the right way to go. It's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, no, I think, so I mean, it depends on the company, I'm sure. But I think, you know, looking at Zendesk, for example, so, you know, we're kind of going to this digital first or remote model. Of course, we're going to still have offices, but this is kind of our strategy going forward, because what we've seen as a company is it works really, you know, really well for us. And going back to your question about, you know, customers, I think, can they go back to the way things were, or can we as, you know, a software provider go back to the things, the way things were. From a customer experience perspective, once you sort of get your solution up, you start looking at, okay, what's my customer satisfaction score? What's my first response time? You know, how many agents do I need on this particular day? What are the most popular channels? Where do I have, you know, the highest CSAT score on which channels? And when you start looking at those statistics, it's always a matter of the question of what can we do better? How can we continue to improve? And I think that's something that, you know, we saw as well last year that, you know, companies that were already well prepared, I would say, for the pandemic, I would say we're not so drastically affected by this digitalization, this digital tipping point that happened last year. Whereas when we saw other companies that maybe didn't have the right tools in place or were not as well prepared, really were drastically affected by the pandemic and the events of last year.
Do you see any difference between regions?
Yeah, I thought that question might be coming. So I think, yeah, for me, I have a really interesting perspective on this because like I said, I'm from the US. I've lived in Europe, 7-8 years in a couple different countries, mainly based out of Germany, but also working with multiple regions. Now, what I see is that when I look at, you know, areas like the Nordics or, you know, the US, for example, they're quite far ahead on customer experience and their digitalization journeys. And when I look at Germany, I think they're also making huge leaps ahead, but I would say are a little bit farther behind in general. However, what I really like about the DACH market or the German market is there's such a huge potential. And I'm noticing, and we're noticing at Zendesk, a lot of German companies that are really making huge strides ahead to how can they improve their customer experience journey. And we had a couple really interesting new customers join us this quarter. Not sure I can share names, but one large, you know, pharmaceutical company, you know, specifically looking for that agility to be able to adapt to the digital tipping point. And these are the type of customers that we're seeing in Germany that really realize the value of being able to offer a good customer experience and being able to combat that digital tipping point. And this is something that I think is extremely exhilarating when we look at the differences between regions.
Positive interpreting if a region is behind other regions, that's more potential to improve.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I would look at it. Exactly. But I think it depends on, when I look at, you know, Germany and other customer services experiences I've had here, just like anywhere else, right? I've had really great customer service or customer experiences, and then I've had not so great customer experiences, similar to the stories that you have shared as well. And I think as well, another difference, you know, we see with regions is, you know, some regions are more likely to call. So I think from what I've seen in Germany, it's a little bit more telephone based, at least at the moment, but we're really seeing transitions on that as well, going more to chat and to AI and to other sort of social media channels. Whereas in other countries, sometimes it's more likely that people are just going to, you know, be able to chat or they want to be able to self-serve and be able to get the information that they need. But those are just a few observations from my own sort of personal perspective that I've seen.
Imagine you're a service leader and you're not past the digital tipping point. Of course, you have adapted to COVID and the situation, but your mindset is not yet there. Meaning, hey, I hope like COVID will be over fast and then I can see all my agents again in a big room, and then we're going to do like what we've done before and print out paper and all these things. What are the biggest challenges? I'm just trying to make the leeway to my question, which is, what is the most challenging for companies during experiencing that digital tipping point?
I think, you know, of course, going back to the office, you know, of course, they can kind of continue back to the way things were. But I think in general, the digital tipping point, what we sort of have seen as being the main areas of concern was just the, like we were saying before, the sheer amount of tickets and volume that we're handling, that the agents were handling. So I think from a customer service perspective, just the sheer volume that people had, and then also having the right tools in place. Of course, you can bring your agents back to the office, but I think, you know, we have to also sort of think of agent satisfaction, which is something that, you know, we really like to take into consideration here at Zendesk. You can bring them back to the office. Okay, maybe that's not the preferred method, but, you know, do they have the right tools and solutions in place to be able to do their job properly? And if I was a customer service leader, that would be sort of my main concern is, you know, of course, I want to have, you know, high CSAT scores. I want to have a great average handle time, but I also want to make sure that my agents are happy. And how I can make my agents happy is making sure that they're having a good experience and they're easily able to do their job.
That is a very good point that you're bringing a new dimension to this whole experience thing, because it's not only about the end consumer. You know, there is this proverb of saying happy agents, happy customers. One thing that we have also seen at SolveMate is that people want to work from home at least some time. And it's like sometimes it's a lot of way to travel. It's time that you can use differently. And I think having the flexibility is very important for agents. And like if you're not yet on a cloud-based service software that is super cool and efficient and with a great experience for the agent, anyways, as a service leader, you should do that pretty fast because that's already table stakes. But what else to consider for the agent.
So your question is, what else, sort of what other tools or solutions or what other things we need to consider when looking at the agent, correct?
If we are post the digital tipping point, we talked a lot about the end consumer, about getting more conversational, be agile, have a spotlight on making your clients happy. But do you have any tips for the agent?
I think from an agent perspective, I think what we've noticed really helps is not only, so there's another sort of area of the customer trends study or something that we believe in strongly is being able to have a sync across all business units. So I think is, you know, when you're thinking of your agents, of course, you know, you want to make sure that they're happy, you know, that they can either, you know, work from home, they have the flexibility to be able to do what they want, of course, within reason. But I think what's also really important is being able that they have the access to other tools and other solutions so they can be able to sort of have a full image of the customer. Because if you're an agent working in customer service and, you know, an upset customer calls you, they're concerned about, you know, a specific order that, you know, didn't go through or got delivered to the neighbor or the wrong area, and you have no visibility on, you know, the orders. So that's coming obviously from a different system. That's something that I think as an agent is going to make your life and your job a little bit more difficult to, you know, to be able to work on. So my perspective there is being able to have multiple systems integrated into, you know, your customer service or customer experience solution. So you have an overall view of the customer, and for you as an agent, it's going to make your life a lot easier.
So it looks like this is obvious, right? But like, I'm just thinking, why do we still need to make this podcast? Because it should be obvious, because not everyone has yet understood the topic. And I just want to like maybe summarize and embrace that COVID, of course, is a very severe pandemic and it's a super worst thing. But on this single particular dimension, I think it has accelerated things. And as a service leader or as a CX leader, you should be very well aware of the trends that are coming, and you cannot deny them. Any last words you want to add, Alexa?
No, I think, you know, just to kind of recap what you said, I think, yeah, you think, you know, why do we need to make this podcast in the first place? But I think at the end of the day, you know, as customer service leaders or as customer experience providers, I think we always want to think that we're doing the right thing. But sometimes, you know, there's legacy solutions that get into play. Sometimes, you know, there's multiple factors that the business has to deal with. So last year, you know, there were many other issues that were kind of coming our way from a pandemic perspective. And I think at the end of the day, it's really important to focus on, you know, what is the ideal experience for the customer? How can we meet our customer on all the relevant channels? And of course, how can we prepare ourselves from a digitalization perspective so we're ready for the next digital tipping point, whenever that may arrive.
Maybe as a positive ending note to this podcast, do you want to share one of your best experiences of the past weeks?
As a customer in general?
Of course. Like, what's the best practice example? Ah, now I'm putting you on the spot.
Now you're putting me on the spot. Oof, let me think. I may have to think about this for a second.
I can start while you think.
Okay.
I call the hotline because I couldn't log into my user account. And then I wanted to reset the password, but it said my user account didn't exist. And it was a big payment company. And so I needed to call because I don't know what happened. So I called them and I had an IVR. And this IVR basically figured out who I am. It knew my phone number. And then it had a personalized experience. And then it transitioned from a phone to a message, and then I exchanged some messages with an automated system. And then, because it looked like a technical glitch, someone from the technical department was connected with me because I got a special point. And we figured out 10 minutes later that there is a technical bug on the platform. And, you know, I just reported a bug, which was a very good experience for me because it was like I didn't hang in line a lot. I transitioned channels from voice to messaging, and then I transitioned again to a human, and I got resolved on first contact over three channels. Everything was digital, and ultimately, you know, I'm in the software area. I could just say, well, you know, I just reported a bug, so I'm happy if you can resolve it. And they shot me an email afterwards saying, well, it took a few hours, we resolved your issue. And that is a customer experience from I can't log into a payment system to problem resolved. And sometimes it's that complicated, but it was an individual, personalized, cross-channel experience that I really liked.
Well, yeah, no, that's quite impressive. I think, yeah, somebody working in customer experience, I can really appreciate the cross-channel, yeah, quick handoff to an agent and the seamless experience. So I did think of one while you were telling yours. So from my perspective, I had a previous telephone provider, so service provider, and it was not the most positive experience. And I wanted to be able to switch to a new provider, and I was thinking that this was going to be really a tedious process, right? So because of my previous experience. And what I was able to do is port my number seamlessly. I was able to interact directly with an agent on the website. I was able to, via the app, be able to make sure that, check the status of my ticket, make sure that everything was progressing the right way. And then also I had actually somebody who proactively called me and reached out to let me know that the process was complete. So similar to your story, working across multiple channels, I also had a little bit of ability to self-serve to make sure that I found the right channels and the right process. And then from there as well, was a happy customer at the end of the day because I was able to switch to, I would say, a more modern telephone provider, and in the process have a great customer experience as well.
That is also a great story to tell, and maybe it acts as an inspiration for CX leaders that are hearing this podcast. So today we talked about the digital tipping point, and I think it gets very clear that that's a point of no return. Things will accelerate and accelerate moving forward. And today on the show, I had Alexa Seefeld from Zendesk. Zendesk is a digital communication platform focused on customer service. And if you are curious on the statistics that we talked about, we're going to put a link to the study and you can download it in the show notes. So thanks for your time and thanks, Alexa, for being part.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric. And thank you so much to our listeners. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you.
Danke fürs Zuhören beim Digital Kompakt Podcast. Du merkst, hier ziehst du massig Wissen für dich und dein Unternehmen heraus. Wenn du mit uns noch erfolgreicher werden möchtest, abonniere uns auf den gängigen Podcast-Plattformen. Und hey, je größer wir werden, desto mehr Menschen können wir helfen. Also erzähl doch auch deinen Kolleginnen und Kollegen von uns. Bis zum nächsten Mal.